there is a flow to the scriptural account of God and man's relationship. In the beginning, God, and that's how the Bible begins, and that's how the story begins. In the beginning, God, and it was just God. And God spoke into existence everything that was not God, including man and woman. And according to the scriptural account, God made man in his image, but man, who was free to choose, which is part of that image, chose to sin. And in so doing, he badly marred the image of God that he and she had once reflected in their being. Still like God, but now blurred by sinning. Man and woman were now lost, hopelessly stuck in the mess that sin and sin had created. But God, ever loving, moved to restore the relationship that had been damaged by sin. Jesus, Emmanuel, God came among us. Christmas. And in his perfect timing, God comes close to each one of us with an invitation of love. Love that reaches to us, that once we receive it, begins the work of redemption, of restoration, of recommissioning. God adopts each believer, refreshes his or her soul, and renews his love covenant with them as he sends you and me to be lovers, part of the image of God. And we celebrate all of this, the coming of Christ, each December 25th, Christmas. And the Apostle John wrote about this, and in his gospel account, in one verse, he captures the gist of the Christmas message. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." John captured God's love for mankind, a love that was experiencing the angst of separation because of sin and his longing to be restored with us. And he wrapped that up in a little baby and dropped his son behind enemy lines. For God so loved, not because of anything that we had done, or anything about us that made us worthy of his love. But God loved because he chose to love. He acted in accord to his very nature. For God so loved. We did not have to do a thing for God to want to love us. Actually, we could not do a thing to make him love us. God, in his infinite wisdom, and out of his immeasurable love, chose to love you, and all of you back there, and even me. No wonder we want to celebrate this special day, this Christmas event that we make big of. And perhaps even the idea of one day per year to honor this is just not enough. Perhaps. But it is God's love, God's giving that resurrects in each one of us who claim Christ as Savior, resurrects his image to want to be more like him by loving and giving to others, which is also a part of Christmas. Now, I find it ironic as I think about Christmas that the way that we give and the way that we receive and even our post-Christmas returning of certain gifts that aren't quite what we wanted, how that actually parallels God's loving, God's giving, and our response to the gift that he offers. John wrote in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Because God loved his creation, specifically because God loved the people that he created, he gave his best gift. Actually, he gave the only gift that would fit every person and always the right size, Jesus. Now, you and I know that some people simply refuse the gift that God has given. They refuse this generous gift. And actually, in John's verse here, John 3:16, there is a phrase that captures that. That whoever believes in him, that idea actually opens or allows for space for not believing. And doesn't this parallel the way we treat some of our Christmas gifts? That's not what I wanted. And we head to the stores the following day to return it for something we want. And God gave his son. And some people do the same thing with him. And sometimes some of us who have claimed Jesus kind of set him aside at certain moments in our lives. Love. God's love. That's what we're talking about this morning. But before love, let's think about before love. Before love, we were already condemned by our sin. Before love, we had no future. And before love, we were simply waiting to die. Before love, we were hopeless. And before love, if you stop and think about it, we were all about me. Selfish. Our choices were always for our own good. But love. Love changed everything. Actually, love changes everything. Assuming we accept the gift of love that God has offered in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, John's love, as we look in this passage, actually it's more specifically Jesus' love, but it's the love that John is talking about, is the agape love that we talk about in church. It's that selfless, other-focused, sacrificial love, a love that's based on choice. I choose to love. God choose to love. We're to choose to love. It's nothing to do with what we feel. It's a choice. And we often talk about gifts that give or gifts that keep on giving. And I think this love that Jesus offers to us, this agape kind of love, is that gift that gives and gives and keeps on giving. The Apostle John wrote another verse, and oddly, it has a very similar address. It's 1 John 3:16. And in that little epistle, which we think may have been a cover letter when he sent his gospel to a church, but in 1 John 3:16, we read the following. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And John, being complete, actually gave us a little commentary on that. He wrote in verses 17 and 18, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. 17 and 18 actually explain verse 16. Now, if John 3:16 captures Christmas, and I think it does, then 1 John 3:16 captures the rest of our lives. John's first words actually in this verse, they kind of reach back to Easter, thinking about the laying down of his life. And that looking back actually becomes for you and me a bridge between enjoying what we celebrate at Christmas, the giving of the gift of Jesus, the giving of life, God come among us, and it bridges all the way to the daily lives that you and I get to live. God dwelling in us, his light shining through us as we choose to love living among other people. For God so loved. Is that the bell to quit? For God so loved the world that he gave in such a way that his gift multiplies with faith. Each "I want Jesus to save me" yields yet another Christ follower and becomes another set of hands and feet that might flesh out God's love in our rather unloving world. John calls us to lay down our lives, to die to ourselves that we might love others. My friends, this is not difficult theology. It's not hard God speak. It's not complicated church talk. It is rather basic. Jesus died for us. We are to die for others. Just as he lives to love us, we are to live and love others. Most people in this room this morning could explain this to someone. Some of you could write about it, and some of you could preach about it. This is not complicated. The difficulty with this simple theology is that it is so simple. It is the cost of obeying, of the doing, that is difficult. We don't like dying. We don't even like the idea of dying. Actually, we were talking about this in my Sunday school class this morning, we spend billions of dollars trying not to die. And yet, it's this simple. We are called to die. Oh, not die like, but we are to die slowly, one decision at a time, to say no. We are to say no to self. We are to say no to me so that we can say yes to others, to God ultimately, but to the people around us, to our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and to people beyond the body of Christ in our neighborhood, at our workplace, in our schools, people who do our hair, where we buy our clothes. This saying no is a kind of dying. And it's a kind of dying that allows a new kind of living, a resurrection to a new life, a life that chooses others over self, which makes us look more like Jesus, who chose others over self. And so as we think about these two verses, as we read these words of John, we realize two things. First, God has extended his love in a very tangible way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And God has invited you and me to extend his love in very tangible ways. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to live our lives for others. Well, I think these two ideas basically sum up the whole of the lives that you and I are to be living, actually are expected to be living as image bearers of our loving God. We are to look like him. We are to behave like him. We are to sound like him. We are to die and to live like he does. We are invited to embrace the Christmas gift, Jesus. And then we are to live Christmas all year long, loving others. Today, we're approaching the end of 2019. We're going to wrap up a year and put it aside so we can open up a new year, start 2020. Some of us will make new commitments as we think about the year. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm not going to be mean to my little brother anymore. We will make those kind of commitments, some of them to ourselves, some of them to others around us, and God will be involved in those because he hears what we commit in our hearts. What I'd like to do just for a moment as I wrap this sermon up is I'd like to set aside theology. Just set it over here. And I want to think about the practice. You see, the problem talking about theology is we just talk about it. And we understand that Christ died for us. We understand Christ lives again so that we might live. And we might even understand the dynamic of dying to ourselves by saying no, but that's theological. You see, practice, the actual doing, that boils down to a word, a four-letter word, obey. Obey. Our text this morning is blatantly clear. If we are saved, we will love others. Not simply in words, but in measurable deeds. Deeds that the Apostle Paul will tell us when we read in Ephesians 2. Deeds that were set aside for us from eternity past by our Father who gave the gift of His Son, that when we opened the gift and took it home with us, enables us, prepares us, challenges us to do as He has done. Listen again to John's words. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so as we kind of wrap that up, in the same way that Jesus loved us by dying, we are to love others by laying down our lives, more specifically, by choosing to say no to ourselves so that we can live for them. John 3:16, God chose to love us. It's not about us, and other than our great need, it was all about God choosing to love us. And 1 John 3:16, we are to love others. And it's not about them other than their great need, but it's all about our choosing to love. And love will look like a lot of different things. It might look like kind words. It might look like a meal provided for somebody who can't provide their own meal or are sick, infirm, and unable to get up and cook for themselves. It might look like us giving our time to be with, just to sit with somebody. It might look like money. It might look like sharing our things. It might look like a visit or repeated visits. It might look like teaching, volunteering, helping out in some capacity, or anything along those lines where the recipient is the reason, not us. Christmas is just one day, but a Christmas lifestyle could be every day. 2020 starts on Wednesday. We get to choose to start a new year with a Christmas mindset, maybe a resolution, maybe a revolution if it's that radical for our lives. A determined choice to live, to love. This morning, for the next few moments, we're going to visit at the Lord's table. We're going to worship the one who came among us. And when we do that, we're going to look back through the cross to the manger, to the gift that was wrapped in pink, squealing flesh, and then look forward to the life that we get to live as we leave here today. When you come forward, and we'll be using the form of intinction today, I have a couple of things I'd like you to keep in mind. First, I'd like to remind you that God's love was fleshed out in Jesus and will be symbolized in the elements that you will touch and taste. His body, symbolized by the loaf, is His body that was given in place of ours. And His blood, which we will taste as we dip and eat, was given to seal a covenant unto new life. Also, I'd like you to remember that we are celebrating a life that's made possible. Once dead, you and I are now free to live new lives. Not just to live for our own pleasure, but to live to satisfy the lives of those around us and to glorify the one we claim to worship. And we are renewing our community covenant. When we come forward and we partake of the elements, we are reminding the others in the room that I am one with you. I am like you. I'm not simply a churchgoer. I am also Jesus' hands and feet. Now, ours is an open table. It's for all believers, assuming you've confessed your known sins. Again, using the form of intention, breaking from a common loaf, a reminder that we have one Savior. There's not a lot of ways to get saved. There's one way, and it's through Jesus Christ, that perfect gift that God gave to each of us. And we'll dip into one cup, a common cup, a reminder that there is just one church. We, by the Holy Spirit, are united together into Jesus. We become Him as we leave this morning. At this time, I'd like to invite my assistants to join me here at the altar, and I'm going to serve them. As you're coming forward, know that Pastor Andrew, will be delivering the elements to the pews for those of you who are unable to come forward. And after I serve them, I'm going to pray for us, and then we will all partake. I would invite you to come forward down the center aisle and return to your seats by the side aisles. That will avoid the traffic jam, and it also sets you up to receive the bread before the cup. Heavenly Father, as we open our hearts to You, inviting You to remind us of the sins that we've continued to carry, hear our confession. Forgive us. Renew us. Father, as we come to partake, I pray that we would each do so mindful of the awesome gift of love that we're receiving. A reminder, an act of worship, recommitment, a resending. Father, meet us in this place. Allow us to be healed where we are broken. Allow us to be strengthened where we are weak. And then send us as strong warriors, lovers of others. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. You will not be dismissed by pews. As the Lord leads you, come and partake of the elements. Thank you, Andrew. Father, we thank you for coming among us, Jesus, the baby. We thank you for coming among us this morning, Savior, your Spirit's presence. And we thank you for allowing us to go among others, representing you, life, death, new life, love, loving. Bless our going, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us if able.